So I almost missed this event that happened, I think it was a week ago. Well, it was last Sunday. But Israel and Israeli commandos carried out a raid on a secret weapons facility inside of Syria. Very complicated raid, a very successful one. They were able to destroy that facility, gain a tremendous amount of intelligence. Colonel Jeff McCausland, who knows about such things, is kind enough to join us this morning on our guest line. Colonel Jeff McCausland, retired U.S. Army colonel, who serves currently as a CBS News military analyst. Colonel McCausland, welcome back. And what is it that Israel pulled off on Sunday?
What they pulled off is a pretty spectacular special operations mission against this place in Masaf, which is called the Scientific Studies and Research Center for Syria, but it's also widely known to be a place that Hezbollah, the terrorist group operating out of southern Lebanon, has used for the production of missiles, guidance system, et cetera, which they've used in the weapons they've used against Israel. And it was a combination of several airstrikes followed by a special operation mission, because the central control facility in a bunker was so deep, the Israelis were convinced that the airstrikes would be insufficient. They managed to pull the mission off. Apparently, according to the Syrians, 18 Syrians were killed, 37 were injured. The Israelis apparently suffered no casualties and did, in fact, apparently destroy the command center and capture a wide-ranging amount of intelligence on what exactly Hezbollah and the Syrians were doing together at this facility.
So how do you go about, how does one go about planning for this sort of, because, I mean, this kind of seemingly, for us, came out of nowhere. There had to be a great deal of planning for this.
Oh, without a doubt. They've struck this particular site with aircraft a number of times. And, of course, every time you do an aircraft against a place like this, then you conduct post-battle assessments to try to calculate how effective have you been. And I think from that, the Israelis became convinced over time that, yeah, they were having some effect, but they certainly weren't destroying the facility. And that moved them towards this type of a spec ops mission. And then you plan these things. You may literally plan these things over months. I mean, consider the raid we did on Abbottabad with the killing of Osama bin Laden. That was not planned on the back of an envelope. That was planned for months. And, in fact, that actually building was actually constructed for the teams that were going to conduct the mission to actually conduct practice landings, practice raids on, go through branches and sequels if certain things went wrong. And I'm certain the Israeli spec ops conducted the same type of rehearsals to make sure they had their timing down to the absolute second. Also, apparently, in addition to prepping the battlefield with some airstrikes prior to the spec ops guys going in, they also combined that with a number of drone overflights, because as some Syrian advancing reinforcements were moving to the area, as they were coming in, as the Israelis were coming in, they actually used those drones to hold those reinforcements off while the Israelis were completing the mission.
How difficult is it to get ground forces? Because ultimately, as you say, the airstrikes weren't sufficient to destroy the facility. How difficult is it to get ground forces into a foreign land? You know, in Syria, has their own issues going on right now.
Right.
That's got to be the most tricky part of the whole deal.
Yeah, to some degree, it's absolutely true. Now, you've got certain advantages. Of course, this particular facility is not that terribly distant from Ukrainian or from, excuse me, Israeli territory. So you don't have to overfly a large portion of Syria to do that. Second of all, of course, Syrian air defenses are probably pretty limited based on all the problems that are going on in Syria. And a lot of the Hezbollah air defense systems have been neutralized by the Israelis in advance. But you're going to go in with helicopters. You're going to go in very low level to try to stay in under the radar. You're probably going to go in at night to reduce visibility. You're going to make sure, of course, everybody's equipped with night vision goggles and whatever to operate at night. You're going to own the night, as spec ops guys like to say. And you're going to go in as fast as you can in that particular aircraft to spend as little time in the air as possible, get the mission over with, and then get out. But at the same token, you know, there's that great saying, you know, Murphy's Law, anything that can go wrong will go wrong normally at the last moment. And back to Abbottabad, recall, of course, that one of the helicopters had a problem and crashed. All of a sudden, the whole plan then has to quickly change. And probably in many ways, I always thought the biggest hero of the Abbottabad raid was the helicopter pilot when the helicopter had a problem that got it on the ground without a disastrous crash landing and allowed the mission to continue.
Colonel, just an incredible operation to hear how it all went down. Is there any worry now that as a result of this operation, there could be an escalation of the whole conflict? And are we seeing this whole, the borders of this war just grow exponentially in the entire Middle East region?
Well, it's really a fear of that. And clearly by striking Syrian territory, you are drawing the Syrians, you could say, into this, though the Israelis have conducted airstrikes against Syria throughout this war, most notably an airstrike a few months ago, which killed an Iranian Revolutionary Guard general and a couple other senior officers in Damascus. And in return, you had this massive strike by Iran against against Israel. So there was clear examples of escalation. I think, second of all, what it suggests to some degree is the Israelis are now shifting their focus. The Israeli military has said, you know, to a large degree, Hamas is destroyed as a military force. Yes, there are pockets of Hamas fighters still in the Gaza Strip, and they may take some longer period of time to destroy all of them. But as a coordinated large force, Hamas has been destroyed. Now they can focus their attention more and more, and the Israelis are saying this, on the north. And don't forget, about 60,000 Israeli citizens been forced from their homes in northern Israel since this war began because of the attacks by Hezbollah using artillery, missiles, rockets on those villages in northern Israel. And there's a high demand in Israel right now to get those people back in their homes. So I think we're going to see a refocus and a re-emphasis by the Israelis on northern Israel, on Hezbollah, and potentially even an incursion by Israeli ground forces into Lebanese territory, which, as you suggest, would be enormously escalatory.
So just have about a minute. I wanted to get your thoughts on Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Poland this week, talking and meeting with Volodymyr Zelensky and talking about supplying long-range missiles that could be used to fire deeper into Russia. And Vladimir Putin has now said that that would equate to a NATO offensive war against Russia. How big of a concern are these developments?
Well, they're a big concern. And of course, Blinken not only went to Poland, he went on to Ukraine, and he was accompanied by David Lammy, the Foreign Secretary of Great Britain. And that was notable because the British are also interested in allowing the Ukrainians to use a longer range weapon they provided, similar to our ATACMS, called Storm Shadow. And today, Keir Starmer, the new Prime Minister of Great Britain, will be meeting with President Biden to discuss this issue in the Oval Office. But Putin has made these kind of escalatory threats before, witness back when we gave the Ukrainians the HIMARS, or we gave the Ukrainians the F-16s, or we gave the Ukrainians the M1 tank. In every one of those particular efforts, the immediate response from Putin was, this is escalatory, NATO is now at war with Russia. So there's certainly a great deal of concern about this. But in past, we've seen Mr. Putin rattle his saber and draw these red lines, only to see him then back down in the aftermath.
That is Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News military analyst. Always enjoy his insight. Sorry we missed you when you were in town last week, but we'll catch up with
Likewise,
you.
Likewise, guys.
You betcha. Down the road. The